The wheel of time turns, and ages come and pass, leaving memories that become legend. Legend fades to myth, and even myth is long forgotten when the age that gave it birth comes again. In one age, called the Third Age by some, an age yet to come, an age long past, a married couple decided to start a podcast.
This is Shade of My Heart, a Wheel of Time podcast. I'm Josh, and this is my wife, Kat.
Hello, hello, and here we are with episode 6 already, Eyes Without Pity. I can't believe we're like almost at the end.
Yeah, it's been quite a awesome season though. I'm loving this. They have really found a way to take what was in the books and really expand on it and really make it emotional.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
Really, the actors and actresses are crushing their roles. They're doing such an excellent job. Egwene is really the focal point of this episode.
Yeah.
We had Nynaeve's focused episode where she was going through the arches.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really
Egwene's time to shine.
And the actress is doing a magnificent job of showing us what it feels like to be a Dahmani.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, for sure we can start there. Like, the very opening scene, I just love how you can see that she is not being treated as a human, you know, and she's in this sparse room. There's just nothing there except like the pitcher, and she doesn't have an extra change of clothes. She doesn't have a way to wash her face, really. Like, there's just nothing.
Also, no chamber pot.
No chamber pot. Where's she supposed to use the bathroom? That's a really good point. Yeah.
So her Suldam, who's the one that holds the leash, is named Renna.
Yeah.
And Renna straight up tells her,
yes,
you're not a person.
Yes. That's, yes.
Talk about dehumanizing.
It must have been so hard finding out that you're not a person, but you're a Dahmani. That's not in the books. They don't explicitly say you're not a person. You definitely get the idea that they're being treated like animals. They even, as we learn, call this place the kennels. Where they keep them. And Madeline Madden did an amazing job of, like, she's kind of crouched down. She's like, even when she backs up from things, she looks animalistic. That very beginning part when she tries to hurt Renna, and then she like she goes to grab the bracelet.
Yeah.
And she convulses. That was so good. Like, partially the acting, partially the cinematography of how they made it look like the whole room was vibrating, you know? Mm. That was phenomenal.
And the way that Renna treats her really is like a dog.
Mm-hmm. She pats her on the head.
She pats her on the head. And she does this really creepy thing about, like, I think we should be friends. And also, if you don't tell me your name, I'm going to hurt you.
I'm going to have to hurt you. Ooh, what the heck?
Yeah, very much head games.
Uh-huh.
It's purposefully dehumanizing.
Yeah.
Renna doesn't want to be friends. She's there to have Egwene dominated.
Mm-hmm.
So that she just does whatever she's told, which is exactly what they want out of a Dahmani. They don't want Dahmani with a mind of their own.
Right.
They want obedient Dahmani.
Yes. And she talks about how she's strong, but that makes her harder to break.
Yeah.
It's really, really crazy. So true to the book, though. The spirit of this is so true to the book. But I felt like seeing it performed, a lot of times the book, you get more detail. But watching some of these things was really, really...
It hits different.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And they did an excellent job of showing that Egwene cannot hurt Renna while she's mm-hmm. wearing the Eidam.
Yeah.
Like, anything Renna has done to her, she will feel twice.
Yep.
That. And she has this thing in the books that they talk about where she tries to hit Renna with a pot, and then she can't touch it for days mm-hmm. because she had tried to use it. And so in the show, they really expanded that.
Yes.
And the pour me a cup of water became the central phrase
mm-hmm.
of this training that Egwene is undergoing, where she can't touch that pitcher because mm-hmm. she just thought about it as a weapon. And so even though she didn't actually try, she had thought about trying with it, and so she can't do it. A really amazing job of weaving in the show's teaching us about the Damani-Suldam relationship, but not doing it in a
They don't.
just a exposition dump.
Yes, it's you were saying before, I don't think it was this one, but you were saying before, we didn't just read it, we didn't just hear it, we saw it. And you really could see some of
It's
that.
thank you, Rafe, so much for showing us what it's like instead of just doing
Telling
an
us.
exposition dump. So this is they've been doing a fantastic job of that. And this episode's a great example.
For sure. Well, while we're in Damani land and we talked about the kennels, let's really quick just touch on this thing with Suroth and Loial, and then Loial and Ingtar. Because Suroth has them as her Duckovel, which,
Which is slaves.
yeah,
They're
it's basically
slaves.
just slaves. People who can't chant, people can channel that they get are going to be Damani. People who can't channel, they make them their Duckovel. They make them their slaves. They dress them in finery. But they're really just servants or slaves.
Now, one thing in the books is Dacovale wear like transparent clothes.
That's true.
Thank you for not doing that because
I
it's just unnecessary.
don't need to see all that.
No, I don't need to see all
No.
that.
But they showed us this really great moment with Loial. She asks him to sing, and she calls him Gardener.
Okay, let me say something about Suroth's party with her blood friends. There's a thing that I have seen this done occasionally in real life, and it's where people are like, it's like they're trying too hard to say that they're having a good time. So they're all like fake laughing at nothing. I hate it. It's like nails on a chalkboard to me. And I want to just like leave the room when people are doing that kind of thing. And they were doing that at the party.
It was
Like they're
perfect.
all just like doing their stupid fake laugh. Look what fun we're having. And it's like, none of you are having fun. This is fun for no one. And so yeah, she basically wants Loial to be her dancing bear. Look, I've got
An
an Ogier Dacovale. He can do tree singing. Haha, isn't that funny?
But
But
then she gets all jealous.
because he legitimately can do it. And all the blood are like, oh, this is actually pretty cool what he's doing. He's like, it looks like a bonsai tree or
It
something,
does.
like
It's
some kind of
not,
indoor
but
plant, is like clearly responding to his tree song. I don't know if I like the sound of the tree song. It's kind of weird.
I'm gonna be real, it's sort of what I imagined.
Kind of a weird
Like weird, deep.
song is maybe a generous
Yeah, it's
thing
an
to say, but oh,
oh.
yeah, I don't know.
But it
But
was
then she's like,
nice.
okay, stop, stop, stop.
But I really liked having this because, again, it only took, what, 45 seconds to a minute of screen time, but it really gave us a lot of information about Ogier.
Yeah, and this is the first time they've mentioned tree singing. But tree singing is a rare talent among Ogier. Most can't do it. And Loial is an Ogier that can do that. Now, no Ogier can channel the one power, but they do have the ability to do tree singing, which is where they sing to plants and can shape the wood.
Yeah, they can even make stuff out of it. It's really
Yeah,
neat.
yeah. So I'm assuming that means that we're going to see more of it
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we
at
have
some
to.
point.
They're definitely planning to use that somehow. But then we also get this information that he and Ingtar are kind of making a plan to steal the horn
Yeah,
and
okay.
get out
So
of
I
Dodge.
really like this. So they're both acting as Dacovale, but neither one of them have given up at all. Now, presumably the other Shinarins,
Or
not Uno,
somewhere.
he's dead, but the other Shinarins are somewhere.
Yeah, they're around, I
And
guess.
Ingtar is laser focused on the horn. He doesn't care about Egwene. He doesn't really know Egwene.
No.
He was sent on a mission to get the horn, and he wants to do that.
Yes, that's
And
his
so
job.
Loial's like, and Egwene, right? And Ingtar's like, honestly, it's a really low percentage chance that we're going to get her out. She's well guarded. She's probably not going to be saved. I'm just here for the horn. But loyal is loyal, and
Oh.
so he wants to save his friend.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of the horn and all of that, this is a place where we've talked about before that it's different from the book as far as what's going on with the horn, because initially Matt was with this entourage, right? In the books.
In the books, yes, but and in the books, they were not captured,
Right.
so they were not Dako Vale.
So this is a big difference from the book, but it places them in the place they need to be to get the horn.
Yes, and it looks like they're trying to get everybody to Falm.
That's what it's seeming like. It's seeming like everybody's sort of making their way. We're grouping people back together.
Yeah.
And so again, this is a deviation, but we have Matt and Min together. The
Kyrene.
Foregate.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Foregate, yeah.
So interestingly, because that's where Rand was before.
Yep.
So now
And
we have
it's
Matt and
not an
Min there.
accident. Ishamael told Min
Right.
to take him there. So Min is also doing a good job of playing this, like, really don't want to be a collaborator with one of the Forsaken.
But she hasn't sworn to him. She's not a
No,
dark
she's not a
friend.
dark friend.
She's made a deal with him
Yep.
because she wants to get rid of this curse. Again, this whole storyline is a deviation
Yeah,
from the
this
book,
is not in the
from the
books.
books.
I think I see what they're doing though, and I like it. I'm into
Yeah.
it,
Yeah, I'm so
and
far
I
so
like
good.
that Matt is into the Foregate. He's like my kind of place.
Yes, parties and craziness, and she's a little bit nervous. It seems like maybe she doesn't want to be there. But so we'll pause on Matt because he's about to run into Rand, of course, and kind of move back to where we first see Rand in this. He's in the dream. And of course, Lanfear, this is not a book accurate thing either, where Lanfear's got him in the dream to have this little conversation. But I love so one thing that was cracking me up is he's on this wheel, right? And it's this like massive picture, like crazy landscape, and
He's tied
it's
down
tied to the wheel. This was like one of the main images that you saw
for the
everywhere about season
promos.
two of the
Yeah.
Wheel of Time, and it's for like 2 seconds.
Of course.
That cracked me up that
Yeah.
they have this conversation where she's like, "Why do you think you can't trust me?" And he's like, "Hello, you've got me strapped to this wheel." So she breaks him down, and then that's it. I thought there was going to be a whole thing about him, being the dragon reborn, and so the wheel. Something with the dragon and the wheel being intertwined. No, it was just for the image. We really just needed to have this very cool image.
It's a pretty good image.
It was a pretty good image.
And I like their conversation. And Lanfear has such a strange relationship with him because she wants to dominate, but she also wants him to trust her.
Right.
And so she actually does
Help.
give him some info.
Yeah.
And she also clearly wants to drive a wedge between him and Moraine. And Moraine is pretty shady. She is very manipulative. So what Lanfear says about Moraine is actually true.
Right.
So it's convenient for her that the truth will actually accomplish her purpose of driving a wedge between them, thus making Lan or Rand more dependent on her.
Right. And the interesting thing here is we're looking at this whole truth and lie and all that in the episode where Moraine, thrust the knife, the sword through Lanfear's heart, basically. She says to Rand, "She's a dark friend. She lied to you. I have no, I'm an Aes Sedai. I can't lie to you." So you've got this whole juxtaposition of where is the truth coming from? Who is lying? Who is being honest? Who's just trying to manipulate me? Because Moraine, while she l doesn't lie, she doesn't always tell the truth.
Definitely not. She withholds a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Which we see right here. She sends, Rand leaves, right, to go seek Loghain.
And Lanfear had said, "Don't be with Moraine or else I'll kill her." And so Rand straight, confronts Moraine as soon as he wakes up with what Lanfear told him. And so he definitely doesn't trust Moraine.
She did come, she told the truth. He's like, "You brought him here just so I would come here." And she's like, "Yes. Did you really want him in the White Tower where you couldn't get to him?"
And you need to learn.
Which, again, deviation from the book, because in the books, he is in the White Tower and there's not this relationship between him and Rand, but I like the tension that that's bringing,
I
and
like that they interact
me
more. In
too.
the books, he barely knows Loghain at all, ever.
Yeah, but so this whole thing with Loghain starting to teach him about the power, I loved how, and this is very book accurate, Loghain tells him, to grab the power,
Don't surrender to
and he
it.
says, "You're surrendering to it because women surrender to it.
Yeah.
Men have to grab it. They have to
Yeah, they
take it."
seize it.
And we haven't talked about how it's Sidine and Sidar, that it's the two different, like, sides of the power.
Yeah.
That really hasn't been discussed in the show.
Not much. But basically, even the way that women talk about it, they say embrace the source because you have to surrender to it. And they talk about the river, that you
Like that
have
it
to go with the
flows and
flow. But men, they say seize the source because it's a battle for control and it'll wash you away. You have to struggle for control the whole time. They talk about riding the on the brink of destruction when you seize the source.
Very different. I love it. And I like that we saw that turmoil in Rand. And then, of course, he gets the warning of don't pull too
Too
much because
much.
you can kill yourself, or he vomits and everything. And
Yep. Yeah, that was all good. Now, I understand why they did this for the show, but somebody that's stilled like Loghain can't see what somebody is doing with the power. But for the sake of the show, I get it, so that's
Well,
fine.
and we even before the show talked about, because in the books, nobody can see women weaving the source except for other women who can weave the power. So, like, we wondered what they would do. And
Yeah.
they've sort of made it seem like, I don't know, either everyone can see or everyone who can channel, at least. Because Loghain could definitely see the women in season one.
Yes, he's not supposed to. Well, actually, they have a conversation, the women do, talking about that they can't see what Loghain is doing.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, in the books, nobody can see each, like, women can see women, men can see men, but only if they're actually channeling.
Right.
So it's interesting, but I mean, visually, you got to do something.
You got to do something. So
I
I'm okay
like the
with
way
it.
they do it. I love how they have it, like, going around their arms
Yeah.
and coming down and out. It's
Yeah.
really, really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
So then Rand has this interaction with Loghain, and then he's leaving, walking through the Foregate, and he hears a familiar voice, sees his old buddy Matt dicing,
Dicing. So
as
good.
Matt loves to do. He loves to gamble.
And I like that. We're seeing the gambler, Matt. We saw that a little bit in season one,
Yep.
even in the very first episode.
Yep.
We saw him doing some gambling with men a couple episodes ago. So we're getting that that's part of his personality. That's part of who he is. So, and the reunion was so sweet. The
Yeah,
big hug
I
and
like their friendship in the show
me
better.
too.
It's good. They seem like they're buddies and they're catching up. And I'm glad that they're being honest about what happened. Rand tells Matt all about what happened at the Eye of the World, and he tells him that he needs to go to Falm to save Egwene. And Matt, without missing a beat, says, "Okay, I'm going. Let's go." When are
He's
you
that
leaving?
buddy.
Oh, like right now. You're leaving in an hour. Okay, let's go. I'm here for you, bud.
He's like, "You can count on me," which is interesting because the last time Rand saw Matt, Matt bailed.
Yeah.
So it's a really sweet, I mean, of course he's going to bail again as we find out soon, but it's a very sweet, like, I don't know, just,
Redemption a little
yeah,
bit.
like an apology without.
They also talk about Matt tells Rand, "We're not better off without you. We need you." And Rand says it back to him,
I know, that was
which is
so
so
sweet.
sweet. I think both of them really, really needed to hear that because they were both feeling like their friends would be better off without them. So to hear their old buddy say, "No, man, we're not better off without
Yeah,
you,"
we need you.
is really, really good. One of the things that I don't love about the second book, The Great Hunt for the Horn, is when Rand is pushing everyone away because he doesn't want to hurt them. I don't like that.
I know. It's like, dude, that's not the way.
You don't need to be mean
That
to
is
your
not the
friends like
way.
that.
Right.
Yeah.
It is with good thought, though, for Rand. I mean, we see this vision of him with Ishmael.
Keeps dreaming about killing his friends.
Yes, he keeps
Yeah.
dreaming about killing his friends, and he knows that, like, that's what happened with Luz Theron.
Yep.
So, I mean, you can see why, you can see the
Yep.
motivation for that.
Yep.
I also, speaking of the dream world and Ishmael and Lanfear, I'm kind of going back to her. One thing that I really like, and this is just kind of, it might be kind of silly, but like, I love that when they're in Teleron Riad, she has short hair. Have you noticed that? And then when she's in the real world, her hair is long. I was noticing it when she has that interaction with, I don't know, maybe we could go ahead and go here, but the interaction with Leandrin. And she meets up with her, she's got that long hair. But then in the dream world, she always has it cut really short. It's just an interesting way to like differentiate when she's being quote unquote Selene and Lanfear.
So, are we gonna stay with Matt for a second?
Yeah, the
Okay.
yeah,
So
let's.
then he goes back and he's like, "Oh, I've got to go break this girl's heart." He, of course, he doesn't know that Rand actually knows Min. So he's gonna go tell Min, "Hey, I gotta go to Falm," and she is feeling guilty,
Yes,
and
drinking herself into a stupor.
yeah, and they have this conversation where she tells him, "Okay, you can't go with Rand. I saw a vision. You're gonna kill him. If you care about him, stay away from him," which clearly tears Matt up
Yes.
because he wants to be with his buddy.
And
And he
he's
was
trying
so
to
ex
redeem
yeah, and
himself.
he was so excited to see his buddy, and now he's gotta ghost him. So sad.
And you, like, part of me was thinking, like, just tell him what's up. But then that could backfire. Like, really, if he goes and says, hey, dude, this girl saw a vision that I'm gonna kill you if I go with you, so I'm just gonna stay here. Like, that seems even worse, you know? Okay, so let's jump back a little bit. Because we really need to know what's going on with Lan. And again, this is very different. This is not, because in the books, Moraine does not get stilled.
No.
She and Lan are still hanging out together, going through all this together. I have loved that they're separated here, though, because it brings in this tension with Lan and Moraine and Lan and the Armorland seat that in the books, I think was needed. And now, they're making it in the show. So this is actually, I think, an improvement.
Yeah, I think this gives Lan a chance to kind of be his own character a bit more than just Moraine's muscle. So he's with Alana and her warders, and they're camping out together, going back to Tar Valon, sorry. They think that he might be a dark friend because he's sneaking away in the middle of the night.
And he's
They
asked
found,
where the Armorlin
yep,
is.
they found this note, and they're not sure if they can trust him or not. So Liana, or Alana, ties him up with the power, and she's like, "You tell us the truth right now, or you die." And so he tells them, "Okay, we found the dragon reborn. I need to tell the Armorlin about what's going on with Moraine. That's why I need to find him."
And so interestingly, he doesn't even really, does he know that Moraine has been stilled? I guess he does.
Yeah,
She did tell
she
him.
told him.
That's true. Okay, she did tell him. Because we can even kind of jump over to Moraine for a second, because she is in the process of writing Swan a letter to let her know what's going on. So again, we're starting to see this convergence of all these stories. And
Let's stay with Lan for just a second.
okay.
So Lan then is helped by Alana to find the Armorlin seat, who's in a carriage. Apparently she was in Camelin this whole time, going to
We assume
something.
that we're thinking maybe they mentioned something about the name day for Elaine's brother. So we're thinking that maybe that's what she was there for.
And she's on her way back. She thinks that the caravan's under attack. She opens a the door.
Okay, but before she opens the door,
Yeah.
I loved the little trick with the power where she did all these things, and it was very like reminiscent of her headdress thing that she wore, but it's all those like little knives made out of air. And that's another thing that they talk about in the books, that they can make things like ropes of air, bonds of air, or different
Yeah.
things. So I love it that she makes these little knives. So then she opens the door, of course,
And it's Lan,
and Slan, and she
and
wisps away her little
yeah, and
air
so
knives.
he tells her about Moraine and Dragon Reborn and stuff. Okay, let's go back to Moraine. Moraine is on the raggedy edge. She
Dude.
hasn't slept.
Yes.
She's stilled. She is trying to control things that are well out of her control. She knows that they're out of her control, and she's trying to like keep it together, and it's not going well. And so her nephew Barthanas is trying to be nice and like bringing her a sandwich, and she is just cold as ice,
Oh my goodness.
not interested in being a
This
nice
poor
aunt.
kid. This poor
Now
kid.
he's a man,
Yeah. But you know what
but
I
he acts
mean.
young. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, he tells his mom, yeah, you were right. She's real mean.
Yep.
And of course, Moraine is still so rude and awful to her sister.
Yep.
Like, I'm the oldest. This is my house. I could kick you out. Get over yourself.
Yeah. She
So,
did not give any thought to being kind to her own family here.
no, but I am glad that she came around.
Yeah. Yeah, and she eventually was nice to her nephew, and they kind of figured stuff out a little bit there. But while they're doing that, then she's told by her sister, the Amaranth Seed is here and she wants to see you.
And
Dun, dun, dun.
so we've got all of these different things converging. We've got Moraine is going to have to appear before the Armillan. Lan and Alana and the warders go and find Rand, and they're not going to let him go to Faum anyway.
Yeah.
They're like, nope, you're coming with us. So we're about to see some sort of a showdown here. So I like that we have all this tension. We're right on the edge with a lot of things.
Okay, so let's go to Faum.
Okay.
We've got Nynaeve and Elaine, and they're hanging out in this attic. They're not real happy about it. They were captured last episode by a warder named Bashan, and his Aes Sedai named
Rima,
Rima
Rima.
or Rima or something, and she's yellow, Aja. And they, especially Nynaeve, doesn't trust Aes Sedai, and so she's not sure about this whole thing until Rima kind of tells her
What happened?
what's going on, and then they tell her about Leandrin, and she is clearly not Black Aja. Her reaction is not such that would indicate that she's black.
Oh, right. You mean Rhyme is not black? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So their main goal here, though, is to find Egwene and get her out.
Right.
Of course, they're being told by Rhyme and Bashan that it's pretty much impossible. So then here comes Rima with this item that she has. And this is now a time where Nynaeve is beginning to trust her a little bit. And she says, okay, we've got to figure out how this thing works. And the girls sit around and they're going to channel into it. Oh, I loved the part with Elaine, checking it. She does a little trickle into it to see what she can find out. And she says that, there's no seam, there's no latch. So we're kind of getting an idea. It's a Tirion-Greal, just like the arches. So I really love that whole section. And we saw in another episode, Elaine talks about how she likes to tinker with things. So it kind of gives that feeling of, okay, maybe something's going to be able to be done with this.
And Rena actually tells Egwene that it was an Aes
That's
Sedai
right.
who made the Eidam.
That's right.
So the Eidam is indeed a Tirion-Greal, specifically for the purpose of one woman to control another woman. Pretty nasty.
Yes.
And so they're trying to figure this thing out. They're trying to figure it out because they need to get Egwene out of it, so they need to figure out how do I get it
How to
off.
open?
And they're not able to really make any headway with it.
Mm-mm.
And Nynaeve, because she's not good at the whole control thing,
Right.
channels too much power,
Yeah.
and that signals to
Sean Chan.
the Seanchan, Damani, because they can feel when a woman channels, that there's
And it's
someone
like
that can channel right
immediately, they
there.
like immediately knock on the door, like, uh-oh,
Yeah,
we've been
so
had.
Rima, instead of throwing Nynaeve to the wolves, says they're looking for a woman that can channel, and I'm going to give them one. And so she gives her ring, her Aes Sedai ring,
And the ones of the other Aes
and the
Sedai.
other ones to Nynaeve to be like, you need to bring these back to the tower. Like, she fully knows this is not going to go well. She's
Yeah,
sacrificing
because she's basically
herself.
like, take these back so that you can put them in the flame.
Yeah.
Like, we're all dead. Go put our rings in the flame. And I really love how they did this visually with like the images with Egwene in the kennel being broken
Yeah.
and these images with Rima fighting. So Egwene has that moment with Rena with the tree, and Rena comes in and she's saying to her, like, see how this is better now that we're complete? Because it looks like she sort of pulls a thread of power out of Egwene and puts it into her bracelet. And then she has this whole thing with her with the tree, and she's kind of teaching her how to use the power through this.
The tree that Egwene likes to look at
Yes, she burns it up. I know that
burns
it
it.
brings you comfort. Let's set it on fire.
Yeah,
What?
what?
Come on. But that whole, like, it's better when we're complete. And then she does it. And so she's like, pour yourself a drink. You deserve it. And then we really see again that Egwene is not, she still sees that pitcher as a weapon. She still wants to attack. And you're rooting for her, You're like, stick it out, sister. But also, like, what is she gonna do? This whole situation, I loved what they did with the costuming and the makeup. Like, her eyes got progressively redder. Did you notice that?
Oh man, yeah,
Like, the
the
one eye
whites
was
of her
red.
eyes.
Yeah, and then by the end, they were both like completely bloodshot.
Yeah.
So you've got this like back and forth between this put the water in the cup, Egwene, and then this battle between the Seanchan Damani and the Aes Sedai and her
Yeah.
warder. It was so stunning visually.
That fight scene, that choreography and everything was incredible. Bastion and Rima made a great team. They took down quite a lot of Seanchan, and
And she even killed a
that was
Suldaman
all
and a
great.
Damani. She
Yeah.
did that crazy thing at the end where she like,
Like crushed them.
yeah, and they're all like contorted and twisted up.
Yeah.
It was so nuts.
But in the end, Bastion died
Oh.
and Rima got taken with an Idom.
And I loved, so Nynaeve and Elaine, are watching from the attic. Nynaeve's like, we have to help them. This is another sense where we get Elaine's character. She's the daughter of a queen. She's the daughter heir. She understands that sacrifices sometimes have to be made.
Yeah.
And so she says, like, if we go down there, we cannot help Egwene.
Yep.
And this
So
is why
they just
Rima,
have to
they
watch.
just have to watch. And that's a very sweet and very bonding experience for them. You see Nynaeve's heart to help people, and Elaine really saying, like, we really can't. This is what it takes.
We also had a really great statement earlier where Nynaeve was like, why is this so important
Oh,
for you to
yeah.
help? You barely even know Egwene. And Elaine says, she's my friend, and I don't have many of those.
Yeah.
Or maybe I've never had one of those.
Something like that, yeah.
Because being a royal, she knows a lot of people, but she's not really allowed to have a friend.
Right.
And so Egwene is like her first friend. It actually reminds me of one of my favorite movies, Tombstone,
Oh, yeah.
where Doc
Doc Holliday.
Holliday has tuberculosis really bad, and they're hunting down the cowboy gang, and he's asked, why are you doing this, being as sick as you are? And he says, well, because Wyatt Earp's my friend. And the other guy's like, ah, oh, shoot, I got
I
lots
got
of
a lot of
friends.
friends.
And Doc's just like, I don't.
I don't. It's so good. So good. Yes, that's very reminiscent of of Tombstone.
So
It's really good.
I really like that. So then that's pretty much it. Egwene was nearly strangled to death.
Oh my goodness. That was phenomenal and so like disturbing to
Yes.
watch her like gasping and grasping, and the way that they did it, like the videography with it kind of like shaky and fading,
It's disturbing.
and the Rena's voice getting like quieter and more distorted, like you can tell she is about to die. The interesting thing to me is it made it look like Rena knows exactly how far she can push.
Yeah.
She knows exactly when, okay, if I let her up there any longer, she'll die. So she knew when to bring her
She
down.
knows what she's doing.
Oh, so
Very
creepy.
disturbing. And at the end, Egwene can pour the water.
I know. And you see, when she puts her hand on that pitcher, it's like her heart broke
Yeah.
because it wasn't like she didn't want to think of it as a weapon anymore. It's almost like it really is just like this. I can't hurt her.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do.
So it's
I've tried
like,
everything.
on the one hand, she finally gets to drink water after however long she's been there. But on the other hand, she knows she's broken.
She's broken.
They got
Oh
her.
man, when Rena pours out the cup and goes, "Good girl." Oh, it just made me want to spit.
I know.
It was so disgusting.
Yeah.
So she has her water. She's screaming and sobbing. All of this is like, again, there's this sense in the book, but seeing it played out was so moving and
Yeah.
so like emotional. And then as she's screaming, you hear from the other side,
Another
nice.
Damani that earlier Egwene had heard her just sort of very mechanically saying the rules of Damani. And this other woman's like, "You lasted longer than me, and I was a sitter for the blue."
And then they show her, and we recognize her.
She was in season one, and she was actually telling Moraine that she's been here having these reports out of the West, and she's going to go investigate.
And this is what she was finding.
This is what
This
she
was,
found.
and we even, you and I even said, like, oh, Shan Chan.
Yep, in season one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so excellent episode. Really sets a lot of things up.
So good.
And can't wait till next week. So thank you so much for listening. Please tell friends about it. If you are enjoying the show as much as we are, I hope that this podcast helps and enhance your enjoyment of the show. We love the show. We love talking about the show. If you have a question, drop it in the comments or something. We'll try to get to it when we can.
And until next time, may you always find water and shade.